John Kincaid, welcome to the show. Did Julian Council just Julian Council just propose to you?
He wasn't laughing at me. He was just like going. He was being very concerned there. About what,
so it's funny.
I'm on a steep road, and the car is not handling well right now on this steep roadway. It is, in fact, I'm like, I made it all the way towards here, and now it is just, this is just mayhem
to
get up here.
Two keys to driving in the ice. Do not slam the brakes.
Yeah, he knows. He knows.
Okay.
Well, John, it's for our audience, John. People in Nashville have no idea.
And
Julian texted me, said, "Hey, we're going to talk with John Kincaid tomorrow." I said, "Great. Can I ask him about the blizzard of '92?" And he doesn't believe me that was a thing because I lived in Atlanta in '92 and there was a blizzard.
'93.
That's what I meant. The blizzard of '93.
It was so big it took 2 years.
It was a thing. It was a terrible thing, and it was a terrible thing in Philly too. It was really bad in Philly too. So.
All right. Thanks
I'm
for
shocked, though. I've never gotten stuck. I've never gotten in any kind of trouble like this on the roads ever, and this is really not fun right now.
Well,
this is not fun at all.
Do we need to let you go, man? Like, are you going to be okay?
No,
or can
no,
I ask
I,
you about Matt
no,
LaFleur?
Ask me about Matt LaFleur. I'd love to tell you about Matt LaFleur. I would love to give you an idea about Matt LaFleur, because let me tell you something. The Falcons missed a boat, and they would potentially be playing this weekend if they had kept Matt LaFleur. But they didn't. They didn't keep him as the offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn went out and decided to hire Steve Sarkisian without interviewing any other candidates for an offensive coordinator position that was vacated by Shanahan. And so, I mean, I asked questions about that hiring process from the beginning. But we just found out yesterday that Dan Quinn never interviewed any other candidate, which is just crazy.
So give me sort of your breakdown of Matt LaFleur's philosophy, his style, the personality. Sort of take the Titans fans, because he's obviously going to get an interview with the Titans, and he's a name that a lot of people are very intrigued by, is not calling the plays with Sean McVay, but clearly Sean McVay is a big part of the development of Jared Goff and the offense. Sort of take us behind the scenes. What kind of guy is this? What kind of personality is he? And what type of offensive philosophy do you think he has?
Okay, Matt LaFleur was considered too young by the Falcons to be even considered for their offensive coordinator position. And then I think what they got a glimpse of is what they saw this year out of Sean McVay, and they realized, hey, we may have made a mistake here. We may have made a mistake. We should have given this guy a better look. He wasn't considered to be legitimately ready for an opportunity like being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. But then there were a lot of people last year that were saying Sean McVay wasn't ready to be an NFL head coach either. And look what happened. He proved that he was. We get hung up a lot of times on these age things. We get hung up on the age of candidates and what they're about, instead of looking at just their qualifications and who they learned from. LaFleur was a guy who was considered, I'm trying to put it best. He was considered a bit nerdy, bit of a nerd, bit of a football wonk, like a statistics guy and a studies guy and a head in the film room guy, and not exactly the Dan Quinn type football coach that's going to go and tear his shirt off and go pump weight in the weight room and things like that, which Sean McVay isn't one of those guys either. Sean McVay was the state championship winning quarterback at the school where my daughter attends here in Atlanta just 15 years ago. And Sean McVay is no beast. He's no, but he was considered more of a football guy. That's where I guess the knock on LaFleur was, is that he didn't fit the suit. Is that an analogy that somebody would understand?
Yeah.
He didn't really fit the suit.
And I'm going to bring up a name as a Chicagoan that it sounds like you're describing to me, and that's Mark Trestman. Is that a fair comparison?
Okay, that's a fair comparison. It's just that, but the thing is, though, Trestman had a resume, whereas this kid doesn't yet. I'm telling you this, if he thinks that, if they think that he's good enough in, let's say, if they think he's good enough in a guy McVay sees something in him, that's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. This is a new age of football. It doesn't have to be. Bill Belichick never played a snap of meaningful football in his life.
More and more guys are like that.
Correct. This is why a new age guy with new age thinking, with a different a different approach to the game, understanding it. Like, I love Sean. I love McVay. I admire him. I love that attitude. And even I asked questions last year whether he would be too young for the opportunity. Guess what? He wasn't too young for the opportunity. There are a lot of mistakes that get made in coaching hires. There are a lot of mistakes that get made. I don't think that Sean McVay being young, I think we've learned, being young doesn't make you a mistake. John Gruden wasn't a mistake when he got an opportunity at a young age. We need to stop getting hung up on age. And I can tell you this, LaFleur is considered a guy that really does understand the game. He understands football. He understands the game. So I would find it a very intriguing proposition. I just wonder, though, LaFleur with Mariota, whether that's the play. We saw it last year. He studied under Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan loved the guy. And he obviously has studied under McVay. I just wonder if the whole catering an offense to Mariota is absolutely that's what you got to do with a head coach, and whether maybe you just need a quarterback coach to do that and a more head coach to overlook the entire operation that isn't as tied into that.
That's what's interesting to me is I sort of am falling into the I like the Mike Vrabel, Steve Wilks of the world as the head coach. And I like to see someone like LaFleur or DeFilippo come in and be the offensive coordinator, and then you're not putting the entire operation on his shoulders, so to speak. But we just saw Lincoln Riley win a Big 12 championship at 34 in his first year. So the age, I'm with you on the age thing.
Age is something that is just it's an overtalk topic.
It's an excuse.
It really is. It's an overtalk topic. It really is. It's that are you qualified or not? Have you checked the boxes or not? Do you have a reputation that is solid or not? And that's the key. And he has that kind of reputation. And I can tell you, there were many within the Falcons building who would have supported his candidacy for offensive coordinator. But Dan Quinn was going to go with a guy, obviously, that Pete Carroll told him to, hey, this is a great guy. He's been a head coach in college. He knows how to coach quarterbacks. He knows offenses. If you notice what the Falcons are doing now, they're going to go hire a quarterbacks coach to assist Steve Sarkisian. To me, that's where you get into these problems is who's the guy? Who's the guy that has the solid resume? Let him be the candidate that you pick. And I'll tell you, I don't know if it's the best fit for you guys. The only question being Marcus Mariota. That's the question. So much of your organization is tied up into that decision to draft that guy and to build around that guy. So that's the only thing I have a hard time telling you guys. Yeah, it's going to be okay with a guy like Matt LaFleur.
So who let's take LaFleur out of it. Who would you hire, and how much confidence do you have in John Robinson to make the right hire?
I'd feel better about. I'll tell you. I think I'd feel better with a more experienced guy that had been a coordinator, I think I'd feel more better with that. So I don't know about Vrabel. I haven't read enough about him as far as what people think his reputation is going to be as a coach, but I certainly think that might be safer. It might end up being a safer hire. But the thing is, do you want to go safe? The Rams didn't go safe, and the Rams had a marvelous year. So I don't think being safe is the way to go.
John, are you safe right now still? Are you currently still on the road?
I am on the side of the road, but I'm right outside of Battery Atlanta. I'm going to sneeze for a second. Excuse me. I'm right outside Battery Atlanta where our offices are. Our offices are right next to the Braves' new stadium. But it's very hilly and it's very steep, and there are literally cars just now sort of stranded on the hill. So That is where we're at right now. It's treacherous. But
well,
I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'm a man's man. I can handle this thing.
We're praying for you, John.
You got it, man. Take care of yourself, and I hope everybody in Nashville is having a blast.
we are in the media, that's for sure. Thanks, John.
Oh, man. See you guys. See you guys.
John Kincaid, 680 The Fan, one of the best in the business. I think Julian's proposing a second time now
On the phone. Obviously a fan of Matt LaFleur.
You know, clearly. There's no question about it. I do find the – let's get to this when we come back, because there is – his only concern is, does it mesh – with Marcus Mariota. So we'll get to that when we come back, and also, of course, a little bit of Preds talk as well. So we'll do that. As we continue to break down all of these candidates, we will have on coming up next hour, as we've now talked about Steve Wilks with Darren Gant, we've talked about Matt LaFleur with John Kincaid, we'll talk with John Harris, the Texans analyst from Houston, to break down Mike Vrabel, as we continue to give you some in-depth analysis of who these guys are that are currently on the Titans coaching board as well. We'll get to the Mariota-LaFleur combination. Is he ready? We'll do that when we come back right here. Corey Curtis, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game.